Hi, I want to welcome everybody to the Vital Step Workshop, Step 5, and welcome our panel, Bonnie from Ohio, Jerry from Michigan, and Donna and myself are from Atlanta. Our first speaker this morning will be Donna, and it's all yours.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Donna, and I'm an alcoholic. And I'm really glad to be here with you this morning, and I'm grateful to be asked to be of service in Alcoholics Anonymous. I was told early on that I always need to say yes to give back what I've been so freely given, and I try to do that whenever possible. I read, in trying to prepare for this panel discussion, I read a little bit. Actually, I read step 5 out of the 12 and 12 of Alcoholics Anonymous. We talked on the phone. I talked to Bonnie last week, and we talked about just sharing a little bit of our experience, strength, and hope, about how our experience with the fifth step. So I'm going to do that, and I want to just start with reading what the fifth step is. It's admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. And boy, when I came in, I didn't think that would be possible for me because I had so many things that I had done drinking that I did not want to tell anyone. I had just as soon keep those with me and take them to the grave with me. And, you know, I was so sick when I got here. Let me tell you a little bit. I came into the program. My sobriety date is May 10th, 93. And I was 24 years old when I got here, and I tell you, I was really sick, and I had been doing all those things we do when we drink, and I was scared to death, and I was scared that I couldn't quit drinking, and I had really quit drinking on my own without AA, and what happened was I got really miserable, and I just thought I was going to kill myself if I kept on like this. And I was told that, you know, you either, you have to treat your alcoholism, and you either have to drink to treat it, or you've got to work some kind of recovery program to overcome those things. And I really threw myself into this. I had a really tough sponsor, my first sponsor, and she was an AA Nazi. And I tell you, she threw me into these steps, and I just went along right behind her. I didn't know how to conduct myself. I didn't know how to go to work. I didn't know how to do anything without drinking. And she basically told me, you know, you go to work, and you come home, and you take a nap, and you go to a meeting, and you do that every day, and you don't take a drink, and you call me. And this is what I did every day for my first year and probably a year and a half of sobriety. And I needed that clear-cut direction because I didn't know what was going on. So she started taking me through the steps, and I remember testing her a few times with this. I knew this fifth step was coming up, and I wanted to test her to see if she was going to tell or how she would react to some of these things. It wasn't anything big, but I would test her, and she was not surprised by anything I told her, you know. And so I started building up a little confidence in this person, and I think that helped me be able to take the fifth step with her. And by the time I got finished with my fourth step, which took a very long time, by the time I got to the fifth step, you know, people were talking about being scared and was this the right person and blah, blah, blah. And I didn't care. I knew that if I didn't take that fifth step, that I was going to drink again or die. And I really believed that to my core. And, you know, I didn't check the time when I got up here, so you just keep me on track. So I took that with her, and, you know, it says admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being. The other human being was my sponsor, and it says admitted to God. And my sponsor told me that when I admitted it to her, I was at the same time admitting it to God. And we went through, and we talked about this stuff, and she wasn't surprised. And she told me some stuff that had happened to her that was similar to mine, and, you know, it was a big, long, drawn-out, I think it was an 8-hour Saturday or something. I mean, it literally took us all day to do my fifth step. And I don't remember having any huge relief or a burning bush when I left her apartment or anything. I do remember feeling a little lighter. It might have been just because the whole, you know, task of doing the fourth step and fifth step was now over, and I was supposed to go home and be still for a little while. I think how this step helps me today and how I've worked it, and I've done many fifth steps since then, is it's harder for me today to see what's going on with me. You know, it was easy in the beginning to do that first fifth step and fourth step, to talk about those things I had done that I felt so ashamed about and kind of relieve myself of some of that guilt. But today, I was talking with a friend about this. It's hard for me to see sometimes what's going on. I still have that denial, and I still want you to think everything's great with me and I'm doing just fine, and I don't want to see that I'm really hurting and I'm really upset about something. I've got a huge resentment against my husband, or I hate my job, or whatever. And so really, it helps me. It's been helping me here lately to talk to other women in AA and to become close with them and really let them know. And I've really just been trying to be where I am and trying to, you know, if I'm not happy or something's going on, just to say that instead of covering it up, you know, trying to make myself look just right. Something else I thought about when I wanted to read, I marked a couple of things in this step five. I'm sure there are many more promises from step five or things that you get from doing this vital step, but I marked four of them that I saw in the 12 and 12. And one, it says, what are we likely to receive from step five? Well, one thing, we shall get rid of that terrible sense of isolation we've always had. I've heard people say that after I did the fourth and fifth step, that I really earned my seat in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I can say that I belong here and I have a right to be here. And I really believe that. You know, I know there's always a chair for me here. And as far as that terrible sense of isolation, I mean, I lived in that whole world with that dark, lonely cloud before I got sober. And I can truly say that this step, I guess this step is what's helped me with that. We also get the feeling that we could be forgiven no matter what we had thought or done. And what a gift that is. What a gift. The third thing that I'm noticed in here is that another great dividend we may expect from confiding our defects to another human being is humility. And that's a whole nother topic, I tell you. Then the fourth thing that I saw in here is that we actually begin to feel the presence of God after we take this step. And I didn't think that was ever possible for me. And today I still can get cluttered up with life and those things that go on, but as soon as I share and get that heavy stuff off my heart with somebody else, I feel so much better, and I feel like the sunlight of the Spirit can come back in to show me the way and be with me. And am I out of time yet? It seems like there were a couple other things I had thought of about this step. But, you know, I'm all out right now, so I'm just going to sit down, and I hope that's helped someone. Thank you for listening.
My name is Bonnie Flannery, and I'm a very grateful recovering alcoholic. When I received my letter to do this, the first two, I was so excited about it because I love doing things with these conferences. The first two words that popped into my mind were just like that: trust and honesty. You know, and I didn't have that in my life. And I was betrayed when I thought I was doing my first fifth step inventory. Of course, I thought I was the worst one in the whole world, and I had rigorous honesty about getting rid of all those moral defects, which of course was sex. And I thought that's what that meant. And I was to come to learn that there were many other shortcomings in my life that I had to really look at, other than that area of my life. But the trust issue for me came about because of the fact that I started sharing and it came back to me. And I was devastated. And of course, that was a wonderful excuse to get drunk. And so that's why trust came in the first time. Be very, very careful with the person that you tell your secrets to. Go through what I had to do was go through my whole life, and my first inventory was a written novel, and I then learned that I needed to columnize it by the book, because I'm a big book person. By the big book, not only the three columns that show us our self-righteous and our self-indignation, you know, and our anger and all of the stuff that's blaming others, pointing fingers and blaming others. And I had to learn to put it into the fourth column as the book follows after that and shows us, you know, more of the things in our life. And then I learned that later on I could put it into the fifth column. But my fifth step started after the fourth column. And I found a lot of things in my life, like arrogance and greed, and that I never believed in myself, and I had many, many shame issues in my life that I had to look at. I truly believe that when God allows us to be an instrument, you know, in other people's lives, that it not only helps us, but it's such a tremendous privilege, a privilege that's only given to those who are chosen. And those who are chosen are us, women in Alcoholics Anonymous. I truly believe that each and every one of us has an opportunity to share our experience, strength, and hope in order to give that hope to other women that they're not the worst thing that has walked the face of the earth, and that they're not, you know, all the things that they have covered up with their smiles and all of their behaviors all of our lives. In my fifth step, I became willing and ready to open up to someone, but it took a while after that shameful event of gossip that came into my life at the time. It was devastating, as I said. It was vital for me. I don't know if it's vital for you, but it's vital for me to do fifth steps. You know, I've been around, my December 12th, 1967 was when I had my last drink. And I still do fourth and fifth steps. You know, I still do my 10th, 11th, and 12th. I do all of the steps. I'm a step person, and I believe in rigorousness, you know, in our program. I did not become sober and be able to stay sober by osmosis. I was one of those hard-headed, you know, I'll do it my way, controlling people that thought I had all the answers for me. And then when I came to the program, I began to think I had all the answers for you. You know, what's right for me today may not be right for you today. But I learned that I had a right, you know, to my own opinion, and I had a right, you know, to do what it was at that particular time. And then I had to dig deeper to come up with the honest truth about what was really going on and why my behaviors had been the way that they had been. And today they're still the same, some of them. I have not gotten rid of all of my character defects. You know, I probably never will, because I recycle. And I truly believe, as I've read in some of the literature, not our literature but other, is that God allows us the opportunity to recycle and go through and repeat, you know, behaviors that we learned in early childhood for survival and for getting people to love us. And if I didn't tell you this, then you wouldn't know. And if I told you, you wouldn't love me, and all of those things. I truly believe that we recycle in order to look at them differently and look at them and be able to see at a deeper level the reason why we do the things that we do, you know. And believe me, ladies, it took me a long, long time to get to that point. I still am looking. I just recently did a fifth step around something that happened in my life many, many years ago. It was around abuse. I had a lot of abuse in my life. I was raped when I was 8 years old by teenage boys. I had the psychodrama that in my sobriety. My father was an alcoholic. He died after I had come into the program. I have the disease of alcoholism, but it is only, the drinking was only a symptom, you know, a symptom of my behaviors. And I had many other things in my life going on before I picked up the drink. You know, there were so many people in my life at the time that I harmed that I had to make so many amends about them. But I had to talk about them, I had to look at what I had done, and own my own part in each and every incident that I had done. And I was able to share that with people. I was tremendously selfish, self-centered, I was dishonest, I was extremely fearful and filled with shame because of so many things in my life and my behavior. I looked at when I was out of my divorce, I stayed in a very abusive marriage for many, many years, and I really thought that I was staying because that's what I needed to do. And I accepted all of the abuse because I thought, you know, that I could fix it and I could do everything that would make it all right and then I would be happy. And in that period of time, I was 15 years sober before I walked away, and I knew that it wasn't working anymore. I had done everything in my power, selfishly, to make myself comfortable and try to change and try to do. And a friend of mine said to me, "Why are you always the one that has to change? You know, why are you?" And our book very clearly tells us, you know, that we can't change others, people, places, and things, institutions, and all those things we fear. You know, I was a finger pointer that my opinion about you was the only opinion, you know, self-righteousness. All of the things that I'm sure each and every one of you, if you have not looked at it, you will look at it if you stay in the program, you know, and the deeper you go, the more healing you will have, and the freer you will be. And in taking that first one, it was like a load came off my shoulders. My second one, the same thing. I was getting freer and freer and freer, and I was becoming more and more spiritual in my life because I was becoming a child of God that was teachable. I was coming into His light, and I was coming into His grace, you know, and I was following directions. You know, we say that we have to keep it simple, but it's hard work to keep it simple. You know, because we have a tendency, at least I have a tendency in the beginning, to analyze and theorize and scrutinize and horoscopize and do everything else, you know. But when you get to my age, you can say a lot of things to people that you're working with that people don't get away with, you know, when you're younger. You know, I was, gravity has really taken hold, you know, in my life, and everything's kind of hanging down, and the tissues are hanging down, and I had shorts on last summer, and my knees were frowning. And I swear to you, I said I'd never reach that age or that stage. I'd always be physically fit, you know? Well, guess what? Anyway, today I can tell you that I know, I heard something yesterday. We were talking about sins and doing inventory and doing our fifth step, and the lady stood up and she said, "All of my sins are self-inflicted nonsense." And I laughed. I came unglued. And what it was self. You know, all the things that I did was because it was doing all right for me. I've been doing a lot of work with the African-American women in Ohio, and I tell you, I love them. The enthusiasm and the excitement in their lives, you know, it's a whole new language, and I get so excited when I'm with them, I just can't stand it sometimes. But the fifth step for me, again I say, was vital, because it began to believe that there was someone, I began to believe that there was someone that I could trust in, you know, someone I could open up and share my heart and all of my feelings and all of my shame and everything that was within me. And I'd never been able to do that before. Never. There were many things that I was going to share with you, and I'm afraid my time's running out, isn't it? There's only one thing that I would like to share with you, and that was my greed for money. Okay? And I didn't see that. until I got into the inventory I took of all the abuse in my life, in my marriage, until I did that inventory after I left the marriage. I redid all of that inventory, and what it came out was that money had been my God. I stayed in that marriage for that reason, and that reason was not the right one. And wrong reasons got me into a lot of trouble, and I was in the program at that time. And all of my loving friends were very concerned. And if it had not been for the women in this program, who literally saved my life when I first came in, they told me the truth. You know, I had a black hatchet, you know, sponsor also. But she lovingly helped put me back together. And I have one today that lovingly puts me back together. But I had another one who was a man, and I never would trust a man. I never would share with men. I never would talk to them, you know, because of the fact that I know, you know, all I know so many women that have had so many problems with men in their lives, myself included. And I came to this program, you know, the 13 stepping that went on was unbelievable that I saw. And I just did not want to be a part. You know, I was too frightened to be a part of any of that. There are many people, you know, that criticize and judge and ridicule a lot of things I have to say. But I know that I'm true to myself, you know, and I believe in myself today. And I don't have all the answers. I tell you that again, because I'm still searching. I'm still searching. When I saw the piece about the greed, it absolutely floored me. And I fell apart. I had no idea. I absolutely fell apart. I sobbed and I sobbed. And then I had an Al-Anon tell me, Bonnie, don't you know that falling apart, what looks like falling apart, is getting well? Okay? So that when that happens for me today, I'm so grateful because it's coming up and I'm letting it out. And I'll talk to you on a one-to-one, you know, and I promise you over the years that I have never, in hearing a vital fifth step, have I ever disclosed anything that anyone has ever told me, and nothing, believe me. I don't know that there's anything that I haven't heard and that I haven't shared. So nothing surprises me. May God bless you, and peace and love and a sense of direction be in your lives. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jerry, and I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic. Bonnie, that was wonderful. You know, it's not really easy coming up behind Bonnie. You know, when I received the call, and I had spoken to some people with the conference and all, and I received a letter with the step, the vital step, and I thought, oh, no. And I said to one of my sponsors, why me? Why? She said, you get what you need around here. You get what you need. And it's admitted to God, to ourselves, and another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. And then this morning, because I've done no research on this, you know, this morning I picked up my 12 and 12 and I turned to the index and it says, deflates ego, pick a person. And I went on and read it and then I thought, no, you can't do that. You know, you get up there and share your experience, strengths, and hopes. I remember some years ago, my sobriety date is 7/13/87. And I realized that I saw this person at a meeting and he had been around many years and he was having a lot of problems with something. And I thought, what's wrong with him? And someone said, Jerry, you've got to do a fifth step. You can't carry all of that around and you just can't do it. But you know, we talk different in Michigan. You'd be crazy as a Betsy bug, you know, and it's like, and that put some fear in me. And then I thought about the deep, dark secrets that I had held. And then it all started kind of coming together because being the people pleaser, if you know everything that there is about me, you're not going to like me. and you're not going to accept me, you know. And that was real important to me, being accepted, people pleasing, and wearing masks. And I remembered having a mask for every occasion, a mask for every situation, you know. And then it started writing this fifth step, and I thought, oh no, there is no way in the world that I'm going to share this stuff with anybody. So I go out west where my son lives, and I thought, I'll get a person out there. And then I'd look at the people out there, and I'd bring the fifth step back to Michigan. So mine traveled cross-country about 5 times until I heard a little person, a little man say, you pray over it, because it might be someone on the bus. It might be anyone. You pray, and God will lead you to the person. And that's exactly what I did. And I started with my sponsor, who, God bless her, is a barracuda. She is not even a Nazi. She's a baby barracuda. And it was very painful at first, the fifth step, because I found a little girl that was there. And that little girl was saying, won't you like me? Won't you accept me? Won't you be my friend? All I want you, I'll share my toys with you. Just accept me and like me. And when I did not receive that, I grew into, I'll fix that. I'll show you. I'll make you be my friend. And then it was one mask and another mask. And as I grew with the mask, the little girl was lost. And I learned really well how to work on the outside. Because it was not all along, she was crying. And she was crying for help, and she wanted to be accepted. And it was a very tearful event when I sat at my kitchen table and found that little girl. I just cried, and my sponsor said, that's enough for now. That's enough for now. I later went on with the same inventory to a spiritual advisor that I had, and she was like a lady minister, and she was wonderful, and we could go over her house and sit in the room that was her spiritual room and just share my inner feelings with her. And as I walked through this book that had been transported back and forth from here to Vegas, when I finished, she said, Jerry, and I'm waiting for her shock, she said, can you tell me some nice things about yourself? And I'm like, well, wait a minute, hold. She says, no, don't do it. Let me tell you what I know about you. And she started telling me these things about me being caring and giving and share. And I'm like, and she said, no, you listen. So what came out of mine was not only some of the ill things that had happened. It came out that, Jerry, you're really okay. I do a fifth step now on a regular basis because I refuse to carry around any garbage. This fifth step, the vital step for me, if I had to sum it up in one word, it's freedom. And I will pick up resentments. And so I usually have a resentment list, and I have a little pad in my purse, and I carry that around. But what has happened with me in these resentments, I'm out people-pleasing. I'm trying to be accepted. The little girl is still there saying, won't you like me? So I'm trying to do things for you to make you like me. And then when you don't like me and don't accept what I do for you, I get a resentment again. Then I have to make the list. The person, what did they do? You know, what is the nature of this? Then I have to just get back up and take a look at what part I've played in it and how it affects, me. I said to my other sponsor, Joy, this morning, I said, come on, tell me real quick, what do you know about the fifth step, vital step? She said, you just did one last week. Tell them about that. And I did. I had 4, and now my daughter-in-law, my ex-mother-in-law, and there were 2 other people, an AA girlfriend that is not here that was, I just wanted her to be supportive of this trip, and she wasn't in any way. And I don't, you know, I try not to ask people to do things for me, and that's a defect. You know, I don't like for you to help me. I want to be everything to everybody. But she didn't even volunteer, and I thought, I'll fix that bitch. Excuse me, please. We don't do that here, but I'll fix that person, okay? And I had to inventory that, and it was rejection. You know, and I have to love her. I'll call her tonight and let her know that we're doing okay. When I finished with my fifth step, I took it and I went out to an island we have in Detroit called Belle Isle late at night. And because I had just, it was just not nice, and I burned it, and I prayed. And I waited for this real sense of freedom to come about, and nothing really happened. It was a process, a gradual process. And then I called a friend of someone that you ladies from Cleveland know, Don Cassini, and I said, I did it. And he said, what did you do? So I walked through the process, and then I told him I burned it. He said, you dummy, what are you going to use for your eighth and ninth step? And I never thought that I needed that fourth and fifth for my eighth and ninth, and I had been around a few 24 hours. If I had to sum up the vital step for me, it's truly, as the 12 and 12 step book says, it results in oneness with God and oneness with man and oneness with my sisters here in recovery. It's preparing me for life. It's allowed me to open up enough to be free enough as I trudge this road to know that it's all okay and that I'm doing the best that I can. It allowed me to go through all of the sick relationships that I had, and I'm talking about real sick relationships. And as I walked through and the list kept growing, and it was 15, 20, 30, you know, at my age you have a few more, and it was always the same thing. So all I had to do was plug the names in. I was always looking for the same thing, and I always got the same results. And some of them I had to make amends to. There were others that I felt truly owed me an amend. And some were a wash. But the most important for me, a wash meaning we broke even, but the most important thing was that I learned to forgive myself. And I learned to take a look at the active part that I have played in a lot of the bull that has happened in my life. It results in freedom. It's deflated the ego meaning easing God out. Picking a person, I just suggest that for anyone that hasn't taken it, just to pray over it, let go and let God. And we always kind of know when to do what we're supposed to do at the right time. If no one's told you, ladies, they love you, let me be the first one today. I love each and every one of you. Thank you.